All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, Lappy here. You're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
Welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia?
How you feeling today?
I feel okay. If we could get that beard trimmed up a little bit. I know we've been talking a lot about that.
You're all
today.
Over the beard.
It's long.
It's long.
It's ZZ Top soon.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's pretty long.
It's pretty contained.
That's contained? All right.
I hear no?
It. Yeah, Elvis loves it.
Yeah, well.
Elvis loves the beard. He likes the
I don't lobs. Blame him.
He said, you can't even see. He asked me last night how long your hair was. I'm like, I don't know, but I know how long that beard is. It's about 6 inches long.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
It's kind of
it probably might,
ballers like.
Probably not going to get much longer.
It's going to get shorter.
Yeah, you're going to trim her down?
I'm going to trim her down. Not much, man. Just watching these playoffs. Not as exciting as the second round. In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Games. the Florida series, I've kind of enjoyed watching that one. Just the way the Florida's playing. I felt like the last night's game, they kind of sat back a little bit and almost played not to lose and not yeah. played the way they've been playing the last month, you know, even leading up.
Yeah, with
the
urgency,
playoffs.
Right.
But that's about it. But we got big news.
Yes, we do. Yep. New president in Flyerland.
Yes.
Our friend Keith Jones.
Yes.
Which was, we talk about it with Lappy, but a little bit of an unexpected hire, in my opinion.
How did he sneak under the radar?
Yeah,
like that?
He definitely did.
I'll tell you what, if that guy walked in and just put a pitch out to me, like this, he knows what, like, I know he's never had this position, but the other people that were, you know, like Eddie O, like we talk about Enzo, like he's basically, and I think Lappy said he's the Philly version of that.
Yep.
But Keith Jones knows the game. He's around it.
Oh, my
he's
God.
Watching hockey every day. He knows this community more than that. What's really important in the fans and what they need. And I feel like Danny does too. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he's a great communicator. I think he'll let Danny B do his thing. you know, I don't see him being one of those guys that kind of comes in and starts flexing. He just doesn't seem like he's that type of guy, but he'll voice his opinion as needed and, you know, do what he has to do. But I think he's great for the franchise. He's a good face. Again, very well spoken, relatable. Like you said, knows all the players. Probably got inside scoops on a lot of players too, right, that most people wouldn't have. So I like it. I think it's a good compliment to Danny. And then, you know, probably with Torts too. You know, you need that kind of that balance. So...
Yeah, it's like, you know, you read, people are going to say what they want to say. A lot of people just like to be negative, but, here we go, another flyer. Well, you didn't have a flyer in here the last 4 years.
Exactly. And
look where the team is. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Not that that was all his fault either. Like, we've talked about that with Lappy. A lot of things have happened, but Keith Jones, he's got the pulse on this city. And he knows the hockey. He played here a little bit, obviously. I'm really happy about it. And I was so happy to hear that he was even in it.
I know.
Like I said,
no
he flew
idea.
Under the radar. So I was like, oh, man, this would be great. So congrats, Jonesy, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're happy for you. And Danny got the interim tag taken away, which is what we thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now they got to get to work.
Yeah.
They got some work
exactly.
to do. And it's going to be fun watching it. Makes the summer a little bit better, even though obviously didn't have the best year, but like we've talked about, we think they're closer than most expect, and we'll see what happens, but they got their work cut out, and I like those two.
Yeah, me too. And starting with the draft, and we're going to talk about the draft, they get the 7th pick. Chicago gets the first pick,
is it rigged?
Sounds like
it
sounds like it was rigged. That's the word on the street anyways. What do you think?
I just had this weird feeling we were going to get that pick.
Did you?
I did. I don't know. I just thought
the hockey
maybe.
Gods
I thought maybe,
Flyland,
yeah. But you know what? It's all right. You never know what's going to happen. You know, like I think you asked Lappy, like you didn't trade that pick or it's a GM. But all kidding aside, it's not like he's going to walk in there and I don't care how good he is. You're going to change that team over a course of a year. Like they've got work to do there.
Oh,
well.
For sure
they've
do.
They've got a lot of work to do.
But a nice little, staple piece, little
Boy,
shiny nickel there to hang your hat on.
Be there a long time.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a highly anticipated, lottery.
Yeah.
For good reason, and
Elvis has kids on his team with his junior jersey.
Oh, really?
They wear him. Yeah. Like it's pretty fun.
Well, he is. He is.
Everybody
kind
knows
of like,
him.
Yeah. He is, bigger than life junior player for sure.
Right.
I'd like to think that he's going to be the same at the pro level. Just, time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see. Other than that, back to the playoffs. I got a little ahead of myself there, but just the second round hasn't been that interesting to me. I'm still watching. Carolina's up 3-1 on Jersey. Florida's up 3-1.
Yep.
And then on the West, both series are tied at 2. And those games have just kind of been like, 4-1 one
way,
4-5 one way,
the
way. But there have been some fireworks, which is
good
to see.
Yeah, last couple of games, a little fireworks, some emotion.
Emotion. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about the playoffs is, you really see it. You're playing the same team over and over and builds up some, the momentum of the series and then the hatred almost for a while until it's over. But it is fun to see that. How about that hit Gudas laid last
night? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Did he ever fold him in half?
You got to know where that dude's at.
Oh,
man.
My God. He is.
You got to know where
he
is.
He is the best.
He's so good at
hitting just in general. But, generally, you don't see him, more
down
on
there.
A forecheck type of hit.
Yeah.
He is just rock solid.
Oh,
his
my God.
Timing is spot on always. So, I mean, fold him in half.
You and him with the beard. I mean, you guys look a lot alike.
Yeah,
right
I don't
now.
Know, man. He's got me beat.
He should be right now.
But
hopefully it picks up with the series, especially on the West side. Like, it's 2-2 in each, so it's down to a 3-game, best of 3. So, still love watching it. It's best time of year for me, playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to think that these next couple of games will get a little juicier.
Yep.
Almost got to, right? So, we will see. You ready, Nast?
I'm ready.
Episode 117.
With Ian LaPerriere.
All right, buddy, let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we are so lucky to have, honestly, one of my favorite people I've ever met in hockey. Head coach of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Former Masterson Award winner. And What's the other one you were? John Ferguson Award for toughest guy in the NHL. Mr. Ian LaPierre. Lappy, miss you, man. Love you. Can't tell you how happy we are to have you.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I'm happy I can make it. You know, it was a busy winter, so I'm just happy to be here with you guys today.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, we made us wait 3 years, but
you know, we were trying to track you down for some time.
No, I know you're busy, man. I'm kidding with you. So what's up, man? Head coach, man. It's unbelievable. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know what? As you know, I was assistant coach with a big team for 8 years. Loved every moment. Learned a lot. You know, I coached with head coach there. And when the job opened up in Lehigh, I'm like, if I don't do it now, I'll never see if I can do it. And I met with Chuck, and we had a meeting, and I told him my plan, what I'm excited to work with those young guys. I feel like I know that I can help them, I can teach them, I can make sure they're ready for their next level, because I played and I coached there, so I kind of know what it takes. And I'm glad I did that move. You know, it's something that, there's a lot more stress than as an assistant coach, but I love it. I wake up every morning with a smile on my face, even if losses or wins, I just go to work with a smile on my face and try to make them better.
Well, I feel like you've always been that way, even when I had you for a year as a player, and then obviously we worked together forever, and Riles too. When they named you, we talked about it. We couldn't think of anyone better. Like, I think you'd be a great head coach. You're doing a great job, obviously. I'm sure you enjoy it. You always come to the rink, even as a player. Like, there's millions of things we could talk about with that, but always the right attitude, smile on your face, and always looking to help people. So those young kids are really lucky to have you.
Did you always want to be head coach? Because I know you did the player development, the assistant coach thing.
I knew I was going to, you know, I wanted to coach, and that it went fast, but I had to retire. I still had 2 years left on my deal. You know, Omer was great to me. You know, I told him my plan, not my plan, but what I wanted to do. I wanted to coach, and he's like, "Well, you still have 2 years on your deal, but you can do some player development, get to know that new generation." And looking back, I think it was great because I come from an older generation, like, you know, old school, like, you know, not like those kids are today. And those 2.5 years that I did player development, maybe a year and a half, I should say, really helped me get to know their personality, what they are, what they're all about. That's not my generation. And when they fired Lavi and Omer asked me if I wanted to be on the bench with Chief, I jumped. You know, my point is, like, it went so fast.
Right.
Yeah. And to have Chief as a head coach was just, I won the lottery. We all know Chief.
Yeah,
we all love Chief. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, which I love about it. I think we need more of that. And for me to learn from a guy like that right from the get-go, I think it helped me being an okay assistant coach, and hopefully I can be a good head coach, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, the guys are lucky to have you. I mean, I've known you for some time now. We played together, and we spent a lot of time in the gym together in the mornings and before games.
You want to talk about the gym?
The temple.
Oh, yeah, right?
We're going to talk about the temple this early.
We're going to bring up the temple.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, since he brought up the temple.
Just so everyone knows, we had to make him put his shirt back on because he was going to be our first guest without a shirt.
Long so pants, no shirt.
So you can see the temple. They didn't want you to see the white legs.
Though. No white legs.
Full length pants today.
Yeah, golf season just started, so it's a little bit of white up there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, where I was going with it is that, you know, you obviously have all the characteristics of a great leader in the way you played and the way you present yourself, and I think the way you were talking about Chief is no nonsense. He's like, you're just an honest guy, you know, whether you like it or not, you'll tell them the truth, which is important.
And you know what? I tell them the truth, but I tell them that I'm not perfect. I make mistakes,
right.
And I tell my team, like, I'm asking you guys to learn from your mistakes. I will do the same. And we've all had coaches that, you know, they come across like they know everything.
Right.
They're perfect. And I'm like, the best coach in the league right now is Cooper in Tampa. He makes mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're honest with your players, you're going to keep that respect. And they won't, trust me, on my team, it's not everybody who likes me, but at the end of the day, they can't say I'm not honest with them.
Yeah.
And for me, it goes a long way. And again, the coaches that I learned from as a player and as a coach are the guys that were honest, and I tried to do the same.
Yeah, which is important. And the fact that you own it, right? I mean, like, no one's perfect. And I've played for coaches before and worked for coaches that believe they're perfect, and they'll never, you know, never be honest with the squad, knowing that they've made mistakes.
Well, I'm just ask any of my players. I'm not afraid. Like, you know, I messed up last night. It's all me, my fault. Yeah. Or you know, and
how can you not respect that?
I just sometimes I feel like I'm too honest. I'm telling them that.
maybe I shouldn't have said that,
coach. Yeah. You know, I'm telling them that I make mistakes all the time.
Lappy, you told us you messed up.
Yeah, I know.
But it's. Yeah, that's who I am. You know, again, like I learned a lot in the last 2 years.
Oh,
like
I bet.
Last year, the first year I took the Phantoms, we had a tough team. Like, you know, like not tough, but like rough. Like, you know, like a lot of East Coast League guys love those guys. And I tell my staff, like during the year, I felt like my first year team were better, like structurally sound. Like they were right on cue, like because they had to.
Right.
Yeah.
To survive, yeah.
Because they didn't have as much skill as the team we had last year. Last year, I don't feel that we were as tight, you know, like structurally, but way more skills. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure we'll talk about Tyson, we'll talk about Brinker, we'll talk about Denoyer, Ronnie Adder. Like, you know, that's a lot more young skills,
yeah.
But still skills. And it's 2 years. And again, just to go back, I'm learning from that too.
Yeah, for sure.
You gotta feel your team. You gotta see your team. Okay, what kind of team do I have? Can I let them a little bit more leash, or I need to tie them up like I had to during the first year?
Yeah, right.
Next year, I'm looking forward to see what kind of team I'm going to have and make my decision about how to coach that team.
Nice.
You know, Lappy, it's funny. I spent 8 or 9 years in the American League. It was awesome. Best time of my life. But it's funny, when you're there, I'm wondering, as a coach, like, obviously you want to see guys get called up. But I remember selfishly when I was in the American League, you know, somebody get hurt on the Flyers and then we would lose our top scorer. You're like, God, dude, what the hell? Like,
No, you're just happy to be you're in a playoff race and you lose your best players.
You got in the back of your head, you got like, you're obviously happy for a guy to get called
for sure.
up.
But again, like, you got to go back and say, that's why I'm
that's
here.
Why you're
yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm here. If you start being like, I hope they don't call this guy. They call you, who's playing great?
Right.
This guy's playing great.
Well, why'd you scratch him last night?
Well, no. I want to rest him.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to, and trust me, it's frustrating, like, especially like our division this year was so tough. Like, you know, it was a race. It was crazy. Just we had to play playoff hockey in the past month and a half to make the playoffs.
Right.
And when you lose a Urson or a Tyson Forrester because they have injuries up there, selfishly, yes, you want to keep them. But you got to go back and say, listen, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's next man up. Show me what you got. You've been complaining you're not playing as much, or you're not playing. Well, it's your turn. Show me what you got.
Yeah. And you got the team into the playoffs. You guys got in. So
yeah, right.
Says a lot.
Yeah, it was. It's crazy though. Like, you know, best out of three first round. You're like, holy.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. Why did they do that?
And you know, you play a back to back, two game two and game three, but again, I learned a lot. I'm new to that league. You know, never really played in the American League. So I don't know how the league's going, but now you learn and you get better. And like I said earlier, like, I'm asking my players to learn from what they go through or their mistakes. I'll do the same.
Remember back when, even when you played that year, the lockout year, and the years before, we played 3 out of 5 at least.
Yeah, that's a little more reasonable.
That's a little more reasonable.
Best of three.
Seems
a little aggressive.
Best out of three. First game, we beat them, played a good, I'd say, 50 minutes. They pushed back at the end. 2 days later, we go, it's a second overtime. And the next night, we go right back. And,
that's right. It was
and, you know, and I had to go with Hurst. Hurst, my horse. And, you know, and he was tired. Like, you know, he played 2, 5 pairs the night before.
Yeah.
It was almost like they score with, I think it was 3 minutes left in the second overtime. So maybe I should have went with Nolan, my backup. But My thinking is like, he's our horse.
He's
exactly.
I have to go with him as a player. I always try to put myself in the player's shoes, our skate. And, you know, if I put our back up in the biggest game of the year, game,
right.
I'm going to look at the coach, what you're doing, but,
yeah.
You know, and Hurst's been great for us all year. He's been great with the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a competitor, and I used him during the year back-to-back games, never with 2 overtimes, obviously, but he always, I remember a game where in Belleville, that's at the beginning of the year. I think it was game 7 or something. And we were struggling. We had a tough start, but Belleville, we played hard. We played well. We competed. And he gave up 2 weak goals. And the next night, we're going to Laval. And I was going to play our backup. I go right to him, and I'm like, and I see he's mad. I'm like, you all right? He's like, no. I'm like, man, he
is he hurt? What's going on? He's like, no, I'm mad. I'm like, you want to play tomorrow? He's like, yeah. And he gives you that look like, yes, I do. I'm like, all right, okay. Let's go. You're playing. Yeah, and like we won. That, eh? And this guy, that's his biggest quality between his ears. Yes, he's got great feet. I'm not a goalie coach. I like to tell Brady and Kim that I am, but I'm not. But his biggest quality, it's between the ears. He wants it. He wants that net. He wants to compete. And Flyers are in for a treat with that kid.
Yeah.
He's a competitor.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that about the best out of three, because I was following it, and then I see, oh, great season. I'm like, wait a minute.
I was quiet.
How did I miss?
You know what, Nasty? What drives me nuts? And you know, it's we play three games on the road. We have great fans in the Valley. You guys know.
Yeah, that. Right.
Our
yeah.
building is rocking on a Wednesday, which you go to other cities.
Yep.
There's no one there. You go to Bridgeport. There's
nobody there.
No one there. At our place, that's why I really do feel bad for our fans and our players too, and us too. Like, you know, all year you battle and you want to make the playoffs, and all of a sudden you play three games and they're all on the road.
Yeah.
Our fans don't have a chance to see our team and get rewarded too, because we play for us, yes, but our fans are a huge part of it. You want to reward them. And I was looking back, and trust me, I'm still bitter about, you know, the way it ended, and it takes, it's not overnight. It's not like next morning you wake up, you're like, everything's great. You think about it, what I should have done. But the biggest thing for me, it's not being able to come back home and have our great fans watching our team
yeah.
play.
Yeah, what that's a shame brutal. They do it that way. It doesn't make any
it's,
sense.
It's all
at all.
Money, you know, to yeah, Charlotte this far. True. It's how much it costs you to go there, hotels. Yeah. I don't know how it works. It's above my pay grade. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I'm not in charge of the league, but come on.
A little disappointing.
Yeah, you got to have
year,
a home.
72 yeah, games, right. Your fans are behind you, and they are. They're amazing fans. They're behind you, you know, and they can't even see our kids play for one game, and that game might be a big difference.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, yes, game two had the last change. It was like it was their own game, but it's not the same. You don't have defense cheering for you pushing the players by
the
screaming.
At all.
And, you know.
So you're in overtime with a chance to sweep that. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, second overtime.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
It was, and the Hurts gave us a chance to, like, they were desperate. Obviously, their season was on the line. They were pushing, and Hurts made a couple great saves to keep us in. And, you know, I remember at the end of the first overtime, Bellerive hit the crossbar there. You know, like little things like that. You think back and you look at videos and you're like, holy cow, would have, could have, should have. But, again, learn and be better.
That's it.
That's all I can do. What am I going to do? Like, trust me, I lose sleep over a lot of stuff during the season. Right now, I did a couple of days after the season, but you
got
to move on. You got
to
better yourself as a head coach and hopefully the players. And that's the thing I was saying all along for the past month and a half, guys were fighting for something. You know, that's something that you have to experience to know what it feels like.
Yep.
It's not something, it's not a book or, you know.
An app.
You have to live it.
Yeah, right.
And those kids, yes, we didn't push far in the playoffs, I get it. But just the fact that I do feel that the Flyers next year are going to be that team, like pushing for a playoff spot.
I agree.
So those kids that are going to be there, the Forrester, this world, if everything goes well, they're going to know.
They've been there. Yeah.
At the American League level, yes, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Everything. Like, we play so many one-goal games, they'll be comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of developing. You know, you were asking,
exactly.
Are you mad when they do call those guys up? Yes, but that's part of it as much as having guys, your best player going up, living it and experience it and being in that uncomfortable position, being up by a goal or down by a goal. You live it, you're a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, no doubt. Talk about some of these young guys. You're mentioning Forrester and you mentioned Urs and a couple of these other guys. They talk about what you've seen the last couple of years.
Well, Tyson, we had him my first year. Mm-hmm. But he dislocated his shoulder. He had big... And I think, you know, it's it might be a blessing down the stretch that he had that surgery. Because when he played for us the first year, he was a kid, which he is a kid.
Yeah.
But he was built like a kid. That more, I think, was like 16 months or whatever, like a year and a half that he had time, maybe not that much, a year that time to
fill out,
work on those little muscles,
right.
Being stronger, being comfortable. You know, I'm sure his shoulder was bothering him for years. Now he feels strong. And he came to camp in Philly. He was great. Came to us. He was lights out. And you know, like you see the skill, you see the poise with the puck, but he really work on, and I'm proud of him. And I told him that when I saw the big difference when they call him up, he was managing the puck like a pro. Mm. And a lot of those kids that come to us, they come from junior. They can get away with stuff because they're better than everybody there.
Yep.
You come to the American, you play in the American League. That's a tough league to play. You know, like, you know, it's not as structured as the NHL. You need to manage the puck even better at our level than you do at the NHL level. Mm-hmm. And when I watched that first game when Tyson played, he made the right play in those red zones. Like we've been preaching, we've been talking about it since day one. And again, those junior kids have those bad habits, but he got it. And sky's the limit for that kid. Is he going to score 50 goals? I don't think so. I don't think he'll be a 50-goal scorer. I think he's going to be maybe a 30-goal scorer, 25-goal scorer, but a really good two-way player.
Yeah.
He'll block shots. He'll play good defensively. And I know it's sexy, the scoring part of it, but you better score a lot of goals at the NHL level if you can't play defense.
Well, that's right.
There's one guy, I always say, there's one guy that does it. Number 8 in Washington. That's it. Maybe another guy. Even Pasternak in Boston, he's pretty good defensively. He's playing with two good players, but he's a little bit more responsible. Even Ovi got better over the years defensively. But you better produce big time to be able, you know, when McDavid does it, like, you know, he makes plays, he swings in his zone there. Well, you better score 3 points a game if you want to do that.
Yeah,
that speed kind of reminds me of both you and, you know. No, I'm saying, like,
okay, can you Google his name? How many games he played?
Oh, are you getting sensitive now? I'm just fucking.
Now, I'm always sensitive.
Well, I've seen some bursts of speed in the men's league. Oh, now. I see got the quick got pens. Well, not me, you. I mean, it's the quick pens.
Quick pens. Elvis was chirping me the other day saying, I said something about, you want to mix a save in there at practice, you know? And he goes, how you want to move your feet when you're men's league game? I'm like,
he's lippy, like.
Well, Sudsy holds signs up in the bar up there. 44 planner. Sucks. move your grandpa? Feet. Yeah, the great. Why you got to go there, Lap?
Sorry, Grandpa. congrats, bro.
Yeah, speaking of that, congrats.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Lap.
Speaking of that, congrats, Nas.
Thank you. It's awesome. It's awesome. My main man, Mason. Hey, speaking of junior, now I've never heard you really talk about your junior numbers or anything, but I think we need to go over them.
We definitely got to go.
He's never brought it
up. We got to review the stats.
Oh, man, was that a good player back then?
No, but in all honesty, we were talking about it earlier. You had 140 points in 60 games, man. Not a big deal.
I mean, 10 points in one game. What? Elvis, what'd you say? 10 points? Yeah, 7 points a week before. It's only 35 years ago.
Yeah, but those numbers are insane. And we joke about it, but Ryle said, how do you slip the 7th round in the draft? Honest to God.
That was the year after that.
But you had 113 the next year.
Yeah, but the year I got drafted at 78 points or something like
that. Oh, so that was the fall.
I got drafted and poof.
Oh, then you.
My bad. Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense because you'd have been. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's
but
okay.
But still, those numbers.
No, keep talking.
let's keep pumping it up.
But you know what, Nasty? It's funny. Like, it's a different league. It was a different time. But you don't get drafted. You know, you don't make it to the NHL level being a grinder. Like, you know, like I was a grinder. I'm not afraid. I wasn't a great player in the NHL. I wasn't a good player. I was a role player, and I took pride of my role. That's why I played that long. Same with you, Rouse. So I didn't, you know, they didn't notice me because I was doing that job in junior.
Right.
You have to do something to,
right. You
know, like to stick out. You know, somebody saw something in me, even if I had 78 points as a 17-year-old. And obviously, you know, you get confidence, you get drafted, you get that jersey on, you come to camp the next year, you go to Canada camp, you look around, you're like, yeah, I can compete with those guys. And all of a sudden, it's a mental thing. You know, you feel comfortable. And I knew, and if anything, like I tell my kids, my own kids, that you have to be willing to do something that the guy next to you is not willing to do.
Mm.
And that's in life. It's only in sports. It's in everything. Like, and I had that. My dad ingrained that in me. Like, you know, I was in bed at 9 o'clock when I was a kid because I was up at 7 o'clock the next morning because I'd go for a run before I go work out with my teammates. just to have that edge on somebody.
Only seven? Right. I thought it'd be like 5:30.
I was gonna say,
that's now though. Yeah. Yeah.
Sleeping in there.
Sleep as a head coach. Thinking about all that.
Yeah, but that's little thing that you know, I learned from my dad, and I try to tell my kids. And again, it's only in hockey. In life, you have to be willing to do, if you want to be successful,
yeah,
you have to be willing to do something that the guy next to you is not willing to do.
Yeah, well, amazing advice for any young listeners out there.
Yeah, for sure. I do have one other question about Junior beside all those points.
Go ahead. But.
Yeah, just keep going. So he was saying you played with Denny Gauthier.
Yeah, I did.
Did he just absolutely destroy guys?
But this guy didn't. He was an underage kid.
Okay.
He was a skinny kid, and you could tell he would crack a guy right
yeah
now, like 4 seconds late though. That's nice play. I was on pop, never fought,
no
bad shot, and I left because he was underage. I left, and all of a sudden he became a man. Like, you know his story, his uncles are the Rougeau brothers, they're WWF wrestlers.
I didn't know that.
His dad was Mr. Canada. Like, he's got a genetic of he's big, but that's in the family. It's a pretty cool story.
That's pretty
his
cool.
His family.
I forgot about the wrestling.
So he kind of grew into the beast that he became.
Fitness and being strong. He does have that DNA. It's in his. The Rougeau brother, Google them. They were monsters. They're still in great shape. They're monsters. And dad was Mr. Canada, a bodybuilder too. So he's got great genetic.
I'm just laughing because talking about goats. You're right about that. I remember him telling me that. But I was just thinking of a story when he was still here. He ended up with the Phantoms the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent down, and he was I believe he was the captain of the team, but he had
making
a
2 million.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I got the rounds.
Yeah, so he.
You better.
I just remember the guys telling me he had either Halloween. I guess it was a Halloween party, and a couple of the younger kids said, "Hey, can we?" They were single, and can we bring some girls over? And he's like, "Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a tea party, whatever." So these girls come in there, like 18, 19 years old, and they walk in his house. He had a nice house over here, and. The girls walk in, and he's in the kitchen, and they come in, and they're getting drinks, and they're like, is this your house? Are your parents out of town? And he goes, no, I own the house. This is my house. Are your parents out of town?
Oh, my God.
Girl, man. But anyway.
Junior stuff? No?
Okay, no, sorry. Yeah, juniors. Everybody's going to be Googling those numbers, Lap. Don't worry.
Pull some highlights.
Like I said, we never heard about it.
Yeah, never. Had no idea.
I wanted to ask you quickly, because anytime we have someone, you play for Mike Keenan. How's that? Any good? How'd you go about that? It's an inside joke. How was playing for Iron Mike, Uncle Mikey?
Well, everything was so smooth after that. Every coach that I had was nothing. Seriously. Seriously, if kids think that coaches are hard on everybody, Mike is Mike, man. He's like my first year for him. Yeah, first year. We got smoked in Edmonton. We're on that Western trip. I was having a pretty good year. I was 20 years old playing, came out of nowhere. And we're in Edmonton. We got smoked 8-1. I'm even. I wasn't on the ice for one goal. I'm my man. And we fly to L.A. We spent a couple of days there. That was rookie dinner time. And get up in the morning. I'm having breakfast. The trainer tap on my shoulders. And he's like, Mike wants to see you outside. All right. I go outside, and Mike is there. He's like, I'm sending you back to Peoria. That's the farm team.
Yeah.
Rookie dinner. Had nothing to do with the game yesterday. I'm looking at him, and as bad as my English is now, it was way worse back then. And he goes, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, what do you want me to do? Like, all right, I'll pack my shit and go to Peoria. Go back to Peoria. They have their rookie dinner. Call me back up the next day after their rookie dinner.
Wow.
Yeah. But the kicker is, I hate to say it, he's a French guy, but Steve Duchesne was in charge of collecting money for the rookie dinner. He collect money for the rookie dinner I wasn't even in.
No way.
You should be calling and get that back.
Yeah. $1,700 bucks wasn't much.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, you got off.
That's how cheap I am. I remember how much.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mike was, He was the master of mind games.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the first one who said that. No. We saw him a couple of years ago at that event.
Yeah, he was there.
And he was so nice. And I made a joke. He didn't like that, I think. Like, he was so nice. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, you have a twin brother? And he's in laughing. Like J.J. That? Daniel was next to me. He goes to me in French. He goes like, I don't think you like that one. I'm like, I don't care. Right.
That one didn't land.
You know what? I don't care because he broke a lot of careers.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
He did. And that's the way they coach back then. You can't coach like that. And I wouldn't want to coach like that.
No. I think we've evolved past that.
For sure.
And right? I mean,
I wouldn't feel good as a human being coaching like that.
No. You know,
making people, putting people down to make them feel like crap.
I was a kid when he coached here, and I'd be up visiting my dad and hear the guys in the locker room, and I was just like, whoa. Yeah. Like, you know, as a kid, you know, you don't understand what's going on. I didn't.
It's hard to believe that it was actually a strategy. Do you think you really think about it? You know what I mean?
I'm sure it worked for guys. I'm sure guys are like, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah, we've heard that. We've heard that before. Yeah,
had some say that.
Like Tuck's a great example of that. As far as that, you know, like Tuck was in a great player. He became a great player, but Mike must have challenged him the right way. You know, he was tough, always tough. But man, Tuck, look at his stats. One of the
Yeah, exactly.
That's a. That's not Hall of Famer, that but wasn't it's right below stats, for me.
Yeah, for sure. Huh?
I said that wasn't junior stats.
No. I would take his stats before my junior stats. But he, you know, it works. But today, that generation we're coaching, there's no way it works on those kids.
No. No, it's so much more teaching, obviously, right?
For sure.
So you have to communicate. Be. Yeah, sure.
There's other ways to get to a guy instead of screaming at him and embarrassing him.
Or making him feel like a bag of shit. Yeah. I mean, how is that? Nobody wants to improve performance, like really.
No.
But it's fear, you know, it's fear-based stuff, and you said it does work for some people because you're fearful of your job or what's next. But back then,
that control, like they could send us down, like he did. A day, come back 2 days later.
Yeah.
Today, because of the cap reason, you can't do
that.
That's
true. Right?
You can't
really
do that.
That's true.
As much as some coaches would like to.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Well, shifting gears, you know, big news in Flyerland. Maybe small news. I don't know.
Keith Jones
hired as the president.
And Big Danny B.
That one we all knew.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, you know, he had that interim title attached to him, but he does all the work. He's everywhere. I was in Reading last week, and he was there. Like, he's a worker. Like, mm-hmm. Danny, he's a friend of ours. You know, I played with him. I know him for 30-something years. He paid his dues.
Absolutely.
Listen, like you say, he went back to school.
Yeah.
He took over that Portland team.
That's right.
Always been around. He did player development. He coached a game with me last year when my assistant coaches had COVID.
No way. I didn't know that.
It was my idea. But I mean, like, so he doesn't want to coach, but he's willing to do everything, touch everything. He's a worker. He's on the road. He was in Switzerland a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, he's everywhere and well deserved. I'm happy for him as a friend, but I'm happy for him as a hockey guy. But he's got a great personality, mind to do the job.
I agree.
It's a tough job.
Oh yeah.
Because I told you guys off air, and at the end of the day, we're all friends. But at the end of the day, probably going to have to fire me at one point. Hopefully not soon, but I mean, that's part of the job. You know, if you don't do your job or feel like the players are not listening to you anymore, well, guess what? You got to move on. And that's, as long as you know, that's fine. You know, it's not personal. Yep. It's business. It's not everybody can do that. But Danny, I know he's going to do it the right way for the organization. He'll put friendship aside with everybody, and he'll do what's the right thing to do for the organization.
Yeah, I agree. What's your relationship with Jonesy? Did you ever play with him?
No, never played with Jonesy. Got to know him, like, you know, and Flyers alumni stuff.
Yeah.
I coached a team 2 years in a row with the alumni tournament there. We all know.
What a guy.
But I think, you know, his personality, he's awesome. He's funny. He's witty. He's as funny as it comes. Like, can roast somebody like nobody can.
Yeah.
But he knows the market. He's been around. Philly for a long time, radio for 20 plus years, TV for 20 plus years, whatever. He lives here, know the pulse of the fans, know what the city needs, the city wants, and he's and he knows the players.
Knows all the players, yeah.
That's the thing. Like, he does TV. He goes to San Jose. That some players that I'm sure know, our scouts don't know as well as he does.
Yeah.
Because he does TV and he does his homework, does his research. He's well-prepared.
Exactly.
And he simplifies everything for everybody to understand on TV. But my point is, he knows the game more just to be a guy who does the, not play by, the color guy next to the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
He knows the players, knows the game player a long time, and I think it's a great fit. I think those two guys are going to work great together, and I think, I don't know, but Jonesy comes across like he's going to let Danny do his work. They're going to talk. They're going to have their opinion on stuff, and I think with Torts, it's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I didn't see it coming.
Me neither.
You know, his name hadn't popped up, at least on my network.
They did a hell of a job to keep it quiet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I think it was like when it came out yesterday, I was like, this is, it's a genius. I mean, yeah. I really like Jonesy. I think he's the best in the game as far as, you know,
Eddie Olczyk's name was out there more than Jonesy.
Yeah.
Jonesy's the Eddie Olczyk of Philly. Like, if I play with Eddie O. Great guy, super nice guy, knows the game. Same thing, same quality as Jonesy, but in Chicago.
Right.
Jonesy knows the market more than a lot of people here. He's been here longer than me.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's very excited about the challenge because it is a challenge. You know, there's a lot of work to do. But by saying that, I feel like the team's ahead of what people think. Like, you know, you had Coots, you had Atkinson, you know, and those guys were injured all year. That's a big, these are
big,
big holes,
difference, yeah.
You know, and as much as, you know, like, I love Chuck. And I know Chuck got a bad rap in Philly, especially at the end. But for people to say he didn't try to make the team better, I got a hard time with that. You know, like, you tried to sign Ellis. Like, we lost Neskanen. I was there. We came off the bubble, walking downstairs there, and he's like, I'm done. I'm retiring. That's a kick in the stomach.
Yeah,
you're right.
So,
big time.
And he goes out and tries to sign Ellis to get us better. He goes and get Atkinson. He goes in, and I know people with their Ristolainen trade. Like, look at the playoffs right now. Gudas, he's a menace out there.
Oh, yeah.
You look at Luke Shen.
Yeah.
He's a menace out there. Why I'm saying that? Because you need guys like that in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's unique guys that take you in the playoffs, and you need guys in the playoffs, and I think that Ristolainen's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does make mistakes sometimes, but I feel he had a great year this
year. Yeah, I agree.
He had a way better year.
Way better year. I think Shazi is doing a hell of a job with him, teaching him the little things that he was missing as a defenseman. He's learning. He's got a hard coach to make sure he doesn't let it slide. And you get into the playoffs, you get guys like down your back end, watch out. You know, and to go back to my point, I think the Flyers are not – as far as people think they are.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. I mean, and we talked a lot at the end of the season. Same thing. It's like the same feeling,
about
right?
This
I mean,
guy.
Yeah, exactly. Elevating his game. And
boy, am I proud of him. Like, you know, he's one, him and Nick Cousin, who's Nick Cousin playing great in the playoffs for him. These are the two kids that I, when I did player development.
Yep.
With Ronaldo and all those guys. These are the guys I follow in junior. And, you know, and when you see them, when you see Scottie Lawton becoming a man, a leader.
Yep.
Whew, that's, you know, it's something you're like, wow, I'm getting old because that was the kid I was watching Oshawa, right. And now he's leading the charge in Philly. I'm, you know, I couldn't be, I'm, you know, I'm proud of him.
He's
a great human being too.
Like, he really is, awesome. Yeah. And you mentioned like how he's coming to his like his own in the leadership role and like beyond a man.
It takes time.
Oh yeah,
it does.
Sure.
He was like that. He was that guy in junior in Oshawa.
Yeah.
But it's a different league. It's the best league in the world.
Yeah.
And different ego we got to deal with, but I'm proud of Scotty.
Yeah, so the battle through the adversity of playing full two seasons with the Flyers and going to the minors.
That's
like,
a slap
that's
in
tough.
The face.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Not many guys could recover from that. Come
that's
back stronger.
A lot that wouldn't. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Nasty Knuckles listeners, it's time to get your real estate in top form. You need DLI Commercial to help you on your next construction project. These experts know how to take your project from the penalty box to all-star caliber. From complete buildouts to major renovations, they've got you covered. Let DLI Commercial help you make your next construction project a real power play. For more deets, you need to head on over to their website, dlicommercial.com.
Lappy, going back to your junior career. No, I'm kidding. no, but you played St. Louis there a little bit, but then you go to L.A. for a long time.
Like, pit stop in
New York, Big Apple.
Yeah, Big Apple, too. That's right. But
didn't like it.
But you played Wayne Gretzky?
Nope. I missed him by 2 weeks. They traded him to St. Louis, and they needed a guy to play the same style, so they
could. So that's right.
It worked out well.
I was a righty. That was the only difference.
That's it.
You never had a shot.
You didn't play.
Funny story about Wayne, okay? I'm in St. Louis. We play in L.A., and Tuck is on his team in L.A. And we go. I'm skating to the middle of the ice. Tuck goes the other way. I don't see him. He doesn't see me. We collided in the middle of the ice. I blow his ACL. He's on the ice. No way. You know how weak he is. He stays on the ice crying. Is that recording? No. And, I go on the bench there, and Tuck's on the ice. The trainer is there. And Wayne's beamed down towards our bench. Start giving me crap.
No.
I want to cry. I want to go home, mommy. Seriously, you got Wayne Gretzky.
You got pee-pee slapped by Wayne Gretzky?
I'm 20 years old. You think I did that on purpose? Like, he's skating towards the bench, and Wayne doesn't. I play against Wayne's many years. Well, I watch him from the bench. I watch Wayne out for many years, and he never got too up or down. He always was Wayne, you know? And for him to turn around and beam down, you know, come down towards the bench, giving me crap, 20-year-old, I want to, at the old forum in L.A., I wanted to cry. But that's my little Wayne story.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say he's going to jump over the bench and grab you.
No, I wouldn't. I think I would have been done.
Yeah, right.
They didn't do that.
Quick career.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things, I was watching this video, Lappy, and they were pumping your tires up. It was a pump up Lappy video, but it was all true.
My mom put that on there.
She put that on YouTube. No, it's about you were talking about, you know, your when you were playing in St. Louis, you had Chaser and Twister there, and you played your role, like you did it so well. And then when you got to LA, you had Matt Johnson, I think, was there. And then all of a sudden he's gone. You're like, oh, okay. And, you know, the way you play, you obviously answered the bell all the time. And it kind of reminded me of, like, when Chiefs said Keenan came to him one night, they're playing in Detroit. And they're like, hey, I'm going to scratch Brownie tonight. He goes, what?
I remember him.
So I was watching the video, and I started kind of chuckling. The Lappy's probably like, where's Matt Johnson going? Like, trust me. What are we doing?
I've had so many, not so many, but that was in L.A., but I had one in Colorado. We're in Colorado, and what's his name? Tough guy who played for the Phantoms a little bit. Stortini.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
He's Stortini, in Edmonton.
Right. Okay? Oh, yeah. I remember you
told me. I told you. Sorry.
This is a great story.
We're in Colorado. We play Edmonton, and Stortini wasn't really throwing at the beginning of his. He was more like a big hugger. You remember that? Yeah. Like, he was hugging. He was a wheelchair. Yeah. And he goes after Cody McLeod at the face-off. So I go on the other side. I switch with Cody. I'm like, I'll fight him. And all of a sudden, we fight. And again, he grabs me like this, put me down, and we skate towards the penalty box, and I make fun of him, which I never did before or after. Like, I'm like this, you know.
Yeah.
So we go in the box, and game's over. A month later, we're going back to Edmonton. And when I fought him, we had Brad May, we had Parker, okay? Mm-hmm. They were on our team. But when we go to Edmonton next month, both of them are injured. So I'm like, holy cow. And all of a sudden, during that month, a big guy started throwing, started fighting Bogart, those guys. I'm like, holy cow, he's waiting for me.
You just can't wait. Oh, laugh your show
off. Hold on, we're going, no kidding. Trust me, I wasn't tough like you were. I was more like a gamer who would take the beating for my teammates. I wasn't tough like those guys or like you. But I'm like, holy cow, I'm watching hockeyfights.com like we all did. I'm like, holy cow, the guy's throwing. So I tell my PR guy, Philly just put Bullerice on waivers. So I told Jean-Marc, no, a PR guy, I'm like, right before the last skate, before we jump on the plane at home, I'm like, Johnny, I'm like, whew. I'm like, we're going to Edmonton there, that Bullerice on waivers. Be nice to pick him up, eh? So I go my practice and come out. After practice, and Johnny goes like, Jigar wants to see you, or GM, he's upstairs. I'm like, all right. I go upstairs. I'm like, what's up? He's like, yeah, I know you told Johnny that be nice to pick up Bullerice, but we wanted to, but Edmonton picked him up. So, buddy, we're going to Edmonton. I'm alone by myself.
Oh, my God.
You got Bullaries, and you got 13. They're chasing me all night. I'm like, but Bullaries, I'll give him that super, like, honest, because I've seen the non-honest Bullaries.
But
he's like, you want to go big boy? I'm like, nope, I don't want to go big boy.
Not tonight.
Oh,
not
man, tonight. You want to talk? And you know, you've had those nights before, no?
Oh, yeah.
Like, or those naps, you don't sleep. Like, the night before you roll, you're like, oh, my God. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm at the rink. And I was always hurt at the rink. I'm at the rink. I'm white as a ghost. I'm like, I'm going to get beat up. But I don't miss, you know, I miss the game. I miss the team. I miss playing, but... those afternoon naps or those nights, I really don't miss that.
Yeah, no.
We talked about that. Trust me.
Well, they lined up in Philly and had a little help.
Yeah, no kidding, big fella. Thank you. That was cool.
Yeah, we had a few.
Ash, Carcello, yourself. Prong wasn't fighting, but he was fighting with his elbows.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah.
He could have been in the box every shift.
I know.
He had those refs. They were afraid to call a penalty on him.
What a team. That was a
great year.
That was a fun team.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I like Florida you look at Florida, they came in at the last push. They were 1 point in, like we were. We had to play that last game against the Rangers to get in a shootout with the G and Danny doing their things.
Mm-hmm.
And got into, you know, it's, you get the momentum of fighting. That's why I was confident with our team in Lehigh. You know, we were fighting. We were in the playoff mode for a month and a half, so I thought we're, you know,
coming at the right time.
And we did first game, second overtime. So we're, but that was our team in 2010. You know, we had Richie, Carter, all those great players. And Kimo was great. Artsy was great. Artsy was tough too. Like, you know, we were a tough team to play against.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. We've talked about it a lot. It's one of probably my favorite year ever in hockey. But like you said, I mean, the late, great Ray Emery. Like, it's too bad
Speaking
he got
of
hurt.
Tough, he was probably the toughest of everybody.
Say, right?
Oh, my God.
What a guy. How about the Washington game when we took over? That was the first or second game Chief took over?
Yeah, and we were getting smoked. And he, next thing you know,
Oh, me and Chief are looking this way. There's a scrum there, and all of a sudden you see Ray skating by. Where are you? And everybody thought Chief sent him.
Nobody needed to send Ray.
You didn't have to. He had had enough.
He was foaming at the mouth.
But, man, like, he was awesome. It's too bad he ended up.
No kidding, his hips. He would have been.
Yeah, man. And the fact that he even came back and played, you know, like, was the percentages weren't great because they had to take bone out of parts. Was like,
that's who he was. Tough man.
That's who he was. Speaking of him, one of the funniest things I remember is that year.
Oh, I know exactly
I know exactly what you're going to say.
So we're sitting in the room. We're getting. I think I told this a little while ago. For some reason, it came up. But anyway, quickly, it was funny because Lappy, they're playing cards, and we were going on the road, so Ray's packing his stuff. He's already out of his gear, and he's walking out of the room, and all the boys are just getting undressed. And so he's saying something, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, Ray, don't forget to bring that 15 hundo you owe me from the card game." And Ray's goes, "Yeah, hang on, Lappy, I'll just grab it out of my ashtray." And he went from this high, like, "Ah, I got you."
That was funny. That was Ray, though. He probably had that in his Louis Vuitton purse there.
I was telling that he used to cash my expense checks for the road. I would just be like, "Is the bank open?" He'd be like, "What do you need here?" He lost that thing twice with me.
When we were... because he'd prop it up at the bar every time. Well, I know. Like, leave it.
We called it the football. Like, me and Harry used to call it the football. Why don't you just let us hold it? Because it's going to end up gone.
No,
I'm good.
They're in my basement.
D-Nasty. You got him. I'm glad somebody got him. No, but that team, like you said, Lappy. And
Lappy was the perfect coach for that
team. He was.
You know, as like I told you guys, I learned a lot from coaches. Lappy was one of those guys, too. Like, you know, he was... you know, well-spoken, well-prepared, well, you know, nothing, you know, he was, I like his system, you know, offensively, you want guys to be creative, you know, go side to side in the offensive zone. Hell of a coach, you know, and his speeches were unbelievable.
I always tell people, they ask me, I'm like, I don't know if he ever had the same one, and they were always good.
Yeah. Like, and you knew it came from a good place.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like something you saw on YouTube, like, oh, maybe I'll say that. It came from his guts, you know. And other than Dry Island, everything was smooth.
Yeah. Ask you about
that's
that.
Come up
put
a
your,
lot
you
too.
Put your name up there?
I wasn't drinking at the time. Oh, okay. Seriously, sorry, boys. And That was an easy one for me. I caught up with coaching, though. Coaching will get you drinking.
Yeah, right, back on the wagon. Wine starts going a little bit.
Oh, boy, the Pinot Grigio, let's go. But no, as a player, I'm never, I go back to what are you willing to do, what the guy next to you is not willing to do. And that was one of those. You know, I'll have plenty of time to have wine when I'm done, and that's what I did.
Well, I have never seen, we were talking about this earlier, Riley, not before you got here, I've never seen a person have as much impact on a city as you did, because you played 1 year here. I bet you people think you played six, seven years.
I know, it seems like.
You know what I mean? Because you like had the biggest impact, and you still do.
Eat two pucks in the face.
You're winning awards after you start playing.
I know. A year after. Okay, I'll take it.
But you know how Philly is such a blue-collar city.
Nasty, it's funny you said that. I say that. Like, I play in great cities. Trust me. For me and Rouse was the same. Like, just to wear an NHL jersey.
Right.
That was my dream. I was a little guy growing up in Montreal. Wanted to play for Montreal Canadiens. Wanted to play in the NHL. But I said, like, if I could turn my time back time to play in Philly, you know, all my career, or most of my career would have been a dream of mine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I've been in the West Coast, like I play in LA, Colorado, like mostly in the West Coast for my 17 years career. But if I had a chance to do it my way, wearing your orange and black, most of my career would have been a dream of mine.
Well, you fit in perfectly. I'm surprised you didn't get here sooner I even remember when they signed you, like thinking, oh, this is fucking great. And I didn't even know you yet. And then I met you and I'm like, fuck, maybe not. But seriously, like you talked about eating those pucks, but like, you took the one at home. I think it was Pominville.
Yeah.
Hit you.
Friend of mine.
And you come back and I think, guys are like, holy shit, man. Like, you come back and play in the third period. And then the that was scary, obviously. But, man, the one in New Jersey in the playoffs, God, that was scary because it was so close.
I didn't trust Bush. He's in that. There's no way he's going to stop that.
I'm
going
to just put my face in front of this.
I know we're up 4-1, but he won't stop it.
Your dad at the back of your mind, right? It's like you're just doing something that the guy next to you won't do. It's like a bigger face.
Yeah. Maybe not with my face. I feel like that Martin got saw me slide the last second and he got scared, tried to put it in the corner. He put it in my eye. I'm just about again. That's that was scary because I thought I lost my eye. Like, it went dark. It went like I had that ringing in my, like really loud ringing in my ear, and I couldn't see anything. That was my biggest thing. That's why, you know, I was asking Jimmy, can you see my eyeball?
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And, but looking back, I'm just thankful I got both of my eyes.
Yeah,
no, you know, sure. Like, you know, so like lucky, it was right here, like a little bit lower. God. I lose my eye, but again, I'd do it again. You know, that's the way I play. That's the way I love to play. I like to do. I couldn't score 50. I couldn't score 20. I scored 3 that year. I remember every 3 of them. But I was doing the little things.
You did
the big thing that people sometimes don't give credit. The guys, you know, fight the guys that you fought, Rouse, it's something that I can't even put my mind there. Like, you know, you were twice the size you are now, but still you weren't a big guy for the guys you fought. But so you did the little thing, you did your little thing, which I think is a big thing. I did my little thing, and that's why I feel like that team was special, because everybody was willing to do. You didn't play every night, but when you played, you knew your job. You knew what to do. You knew to go after or whatever you had to go after.
Yeah.
So that's why that team was special, because we all knew our job. We knew all Richie, Carter, Hartsey, Danny B, G would take care of the offense. We'll do our job. Pousey, myself, Betsy, all those guys, we took pride of doing that. And I feel as a coach, that's my job to make sure my players know their role, and not only know their role, take pride and embrace that role and feel part as big as the guy who scored 3 goals a night.
Totally.
You need those guys to feel as important as that guy. And I think in today's world, more than ever, that's the coach's job to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then we mentioned Ray Emery, but like Michael Layton, right? I mean, it's like a
step
huge
up.
Exactly. Like the way the season had gone.
We got him on waivers
I think
from Carolina or something like that.
I can't remember how the cycle
Lates
happened.
Was great, and he Without him, we're not there, boys. Like, I know everybody talks about the goal 5-0, but at the end of the day, he made saves in that series series to get there.
Well, how about the Montreal series? He had 3 shutouts. It was like, you're right. It took everyone.
For sure.
All of you guys.
And that's why that team was special. Yeah. You know, we lost in game 6 to a better team. Got to give them credit. But at the end of the day, it was my last year, but I really enjoyed, like, if I could pick a way, without winning the cup, a way to go out, that'd be the team I'd pick, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. Wait,
lucky Luc Robitaille called you the heart and soul of the organization when you were in L.A., and you certainly were that here, and you only played 1 year, but that's how you're remembered, obviously, and everyone that knows you, your teammates, your equipment guys, you know, all that. And it is amazing. I meant what I said. One of the best people I've met.
Thanks, bro.
In hockey. And your junior stats are just amazing.
Let's go back to that.
Yeah, let's get back to that. So what do you think about these playoffs? Have you paid close attention or you been...
Yeah, I pay attention. Like, I really liked the first round. It was like, you know, a second round, as a coach, you know, you see those high-scoring games. You're like, holy cow, am I missing something here? Like, you know, but, you know, guys are tired or they're banged up. That first round takes so much out of you that you know, that D's own coverage sometimes kind of, you know, they kind of put it on the side there for to rest, to have more offense there. But I really like that Florida team.
Yeah.
I feel like, again, to go back to our team, you know, they do have stars. Like, you know, they're better than people give. They're not an 8 seed. Come on here, Barkov,
right. Yeah, Kachuk, exactly.
And all that. But they have that character behind it. Like, yeah, even yesterday, they were down 2-0. All of a sudden, 2-1. You're like, holy cow, they'll come back.
Yep. That push, yeah.
They do push, and they're playing with house money. Nobody saw them there. Nobody like us. But, playoffs is playoffs. There's no other sports. I don't care. We can argue all day. Basketball's not even close. Baseball's not even close. Football's not even close. Playoff hockey, you can beat it. Guys that are giving their body, soul, whatever you want to call it, every night, it's impressive.
Yeah.
It is. We were laughing, and that's why I kind of giggled, because AD with the Lakers got an elbow in the head last night, and he was taken out of the arena in a wheelchair.
Are you for real?
I swear to God. He's like, AD. I'm like, never mind, right? Talking about basketball.
Eskinen took a puck right in the face, like, at the end of game 3 in Dallas there. Eskinen, the defenseman.
Eskinen, he
played 32 minutes two nights ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. That's insane.
No big deal.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's a
different breed.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, I'm proud of calling myself and yourself part of that breed, you know?
Yeah.
I really do feel like guys are... The guys changed, the mentality changed a little bit. It's more like they're more
business-like
approach than we were back then, because the money is so great
now,
you know,
exactly.
And career is so short. You want to, and I get that part, but you see the real hockey players in the playoffs.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You know, like Kachuk makes what, $10 million a year? He gives his body.
Oh, yeah,
night,
exactly, yeah.
That's when you see it. And there's other guys I won't name, they make that kind of money and they disappear in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about Toronto, but hey, if you guys want to talk about
right. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. And you know what's like I love in the playoffs too, like, you know, the league probably doesn't like it, but at the end of the game where these guys are they're pissed off and they're going at it. I love that. That's what makes hockey to me special. Like, I'm not talking about some really dirty happening.
No, the slash from Petrangelo.
The
fighting, though, like, I love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Prepare the game for the next game.
The hits, like, every...
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, last night at the end of that game, they were pissed off.
He went after Marner.
But he went, you knew he was doing it too, because he was loose. But then the ref grabbed because he might not hurt.
Yeah.
So, they played together in junior.
Did they really?
In
London. I didn't know that. Yeah, oh, wow.
So Marner knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But that's, I love it.
Yeah, I know. It's.
I do too. Yeah. Who would you say, Lappy, was your, like you said, you played for a lot of great coaches, but like, do you have one that like was your favorite?
I love Q.
Yeah.
I played for Q for 4 years, and he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. I know it didn't go so well at the end there with Chicago. Well, it went well, but, you know, we all know that stuff. Well, we don't know, but something happened. But as a human being, what a guy. I really enjoy him. And as a coach, he didn't complicate stuff. Sometimes I do feel in today's world we try to complicate the game too much. you know, and it was really simple X and O's, and you know, be he's no nonsense guy and chief again. You know, he's when I say no nonsense, it's chief for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's and I learned a lot from him. The way he handled himself, the way he's always like this, never went like this, and like that. That's something I got to work on. I'm too emotional, and that's who I am.
Yeah.
But I feel I got better this year. I'm going to be better next year to go back to what I said I learned from my mistakes. It's not a mistake. It's who
just
I am.
Just bring awareness to it.
And that's it. Yeah. I'm aware. Trust me. So is my assistant coaches. They're aware, too.
Now they're laughed.
I know. But that's who I am.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I appreciate that. I won't be somebody else. If I need to be somebody else, I'll go do something else.
No, of course. Yeah.
And but, those two, like Chief and Q, are the guys that I look back. But I learned not only from coaches, from players, like, you know, from the Sakic of the world.
He played with some amazing players.
From Luke. Like, you know, I talk about Lucky quite a bit. He's a really good friend of mine. But it's more the person than the player. Like, those two guys are real Hall of Famers in my book.
Yeah.
Real superstars. Because they'd sit here, they'd be cool guys. They'll be, like, just down-to-earth guys. And these are the real guys. The guys that try to show how great they were. They annoy me. And there's a lot of those guys in our game.
But sure.
Those two guys are just great people on and off the ice. And I learned a lot from those two.
Sure. Well, we've heard great things about them. And you mentioned Q. We've heard great things about him. And then, well, Chicago recently gets, wins the draft lottery. You think they'll hang on to that pick?
Oh, I'm not a GM. That's about my pay grade. But I don't know what a player that kid is.
Oh, my God.
But you know what?
Trade that.
He might lose his job before you press on the red button. But I think it's great for the league. It's a huge TV market, and people make me laugh. Oh, like, it's rigged.
Yeah, right.
It's not.
If it's rigged, somebody's going to go to jail because that's criminal.
Yeah,
seriously, that's criminal. Yeah. Like, if it is rigged, the other team should. I mean, FBI will be in there and everything. Yeah. And people are like, "Yeah, it's rigged." It's not rigged, but it's great for the league.
Yeah, it is.
Chicago's a huge market, huge TV market, great city, one of my favorite cities.
Yeah,
I agree
with that.
You know, I feel bad for. I don't feel bad, but that's the luck of the draw, I guess. Like, you know, and what a player! I watch him at the World Juniors. Like, huh?
Pretty good.
But you know what? I small samples. I only watch him at the World Juniors there against kids. Is he McDavid? I don't know. You know, like, I think he's going to be – he doesn't have his speed.
No.
I think McDavid's way faster. Maybe he's a better passer. I don't know. We'll know. We'll see. I hate when guys compare guys that are in the league right now dominating, not only in the league, dominating since day one, to kids that were playing against kids. And, again, he's a special player. He's going to be great. Wait and see how good he's going to be.
Yeah.
How great he's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Speaking of Chief, I know you'll have this in your back pocket. Best Chief impersonation.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
No. I'm the toughest guy in this building. How funny is that? How weird is that? He go around the room. This guy can't play. This guy can't play.
Chief, come in here and go around the room for us. No, I can't do that. No, do it. He'd start. He wouldn't stop.
So
he'd get the Jeep. Not, like, he's okay.
Or you'd be like, not tough. I'm still the toughest guy in this building. Even the guy upstairs, I'd beat him.
Yeah, that's what he said to me. The one morning we're in the hot tub. We're getting ready to go for a ride. It's literally 6 a.m. And all we've said is good morning or whatever. So we're sitting there and he's like stretching. And he goes, you understand how tough I am? And I'm like looking around, like, talking to me. I am the toughest guy in this building.
He was right, too.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't lying.
He goes, but the funny thing is, it's just me and him. He goes, boys. He goes, boys, when it's just you. And you know how he does. He goes, boys, you can go up there and tell that guy upstairs, too, talking about Homer. He goes, I'll knock him right the fuck out, too. I'm like, well, I'll let you tell him that.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to tell him. But no.
He was a tough man.
Oh, yeah.
Still
he was,
is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess around with him. Especially now he looks a little bit fat.
Yeah. Chief, you heard it. I didn't say it. My buddies got to meet him this past weekend.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a comeback to him. Like, I played in a golf tournament a couple days ago, and his buddy Rock.
Yeah.
I play with Rock, which I don't know their buddies. He's introducing himself, and he's like, first thing he tells me, he's like, Chief says you look fat. I'm like, whoa, are you kidding me right now? That's Chief coming.
My buddies met him the other day at a Hollydale, and when I saw him after the weekend, they were like, I didn't realize he was that big. He's like, he shook my hand, and I was like, his hand, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, he used to be a little bit better shape. But actually, he didn't look as bad in person as I thought he was looking on TV. Sorry, Chief, but I thought he was getting, like, you getting new suits.
We're going to cut that because they're going to take a beating.
Hey, no, no. He's like, you know how he's always like, oh, yeah. Who was that made for? Remember that lap on the bench? He says the 190. He opens up. He goes, oh, you know, because it has his name in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know though about that shirt and tie. He goes, oh yeah, we'll go talk to Hugo because I got it off the mannequin. Oh, yeah. right, warm up. I mean, right before the puck drops there. But
he's one of a kind.
Yeah, he really is.
He is one of a kind.
Yeah, we were talking about body types here, and we talked about the temple at the start of the show. I mean, we may as well talk about your little regime.
What are you doing
to stay so lean and healthy? And
I don't eat. You know? I like
hydration.
To run.
Yeah,
you're running. I like still? To run.
I know people are like, "It's great for you. You're almost 50." I don't care. It's good for my mind.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be 50 in January.
Older than me. I know. I saw that. 49.
Yeah.
49 years old. 49 years young.
Yeah. I like to run, and I try to watch what I eat. I like to eat like everybody, but I try to, you know, you get older, you don't can't eat those huge bowl of pasta like we used when we were young. But, yeah, I just like to move.
It's
tough. I'll be honest with you. Like during the season, like you get so much on your mind. Like you're drained before when the days start because of whatever's coming. You're talking about being a head coach. You got a lot on your plate. Yeah. You know? So I love it, but it's you know, it drains you. And but I always find some time for myself, go out there, do the stairs. In the winter, when our building, I told you, it's amazing. It looks like a small NHL
great
building.
Great setup.
So I go up and do the stairs, and it's my me time, and I'm in my mind, and try to sweat it out a little bit.
There you go.
Sweat out the Pinot Grigio.
You got to.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you look great, and obviously, you know, you take care of the bod, you know, the mind. Take care of the temple. You got to.
You know, we talk about that, me and you, quite a bit. The mental part of it, it's, you know, especially, and, you know, we got hit in the head quite a bit, you know, and, you know, I try to stay ahead of that. That's why, like, I don't want to put 20 pounds on and all of a sudden feel depressed because I'm bigger and all of a sudden I mess up with my mind. Is it my concussions? Is it this? Is that? So I take that out of the equation, try to stay lean.
Of course.
And, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, that's good, man. It looks like it's working for you.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't been to the yoga yet?
No.
Well,
I've done yoga before. That's hard. People think it's easy.
I don't think
it's humbling.
He wants me to go in there and do it. I'm afraid I'll walk out of that hot ass room.
And in our head, we'll think that we look like him with the polo there. All of a sudden, they're filming us. No, we don't look like Riles right now.
Nah, don't film me.
Well, yeah, that's why you got to leave the ego outside.
You're right.
Just show up as you are.
Good point.
Right. That's why you still haven't showed up in 3 years.
He doesn't want to leave the ego outside.
Talk about fat you're getting and all this other stuff.
I'm as a baby seal right now. It's embarrassing, but yeah, okay. Anyway, Lappy's junior stats. Lappy, man, I know we know you got to run. You got a lot of...
You got Big George on the phone.
Big George, I don't want to
tell him. Tell me, Seth, what's up.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Yeah.
But we can't thank you enough, honestly.
Thanks,
buddy.
Boys.
Thanks for having me. So good seeing you.
It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for making the trek.
Yeah,
all the way from Lehigh
so
Valley.
So busy right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no tea time today, so...
No, I'm not today?
Not today.
You playing a lot, though?
Well, the weather's been shitty, so...
Yeah, that's
right
true.
Now,
yeah.
Like... Yeah, I try to. It's good. Again, good for the mind. I like to walk, too. Mm-hmm. Go out, walk. In your own... I don't mind playing by myself, either. Right. I really like that, actually. You know, we can cheat.
Nobody sees the foot wedge.
What happened? That was a par.
You should go play around with Riles. Yeah.
No, you don't want to be. You don't want to be exposed to that. No.
We play in tournaments in the summer, like these tournaments, and he lasts about eight, nine holes. Next thing you know, he's not even teeing off. I'm like, what do you guys have?
It's getting enough.
I'm done.
It's enough. Nine holes is enough. No?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Depends where you're at and who you're with. That's thanks, right. Boys. Yeah, thanks for it. Having me.
Yeah, appreciate thank you, brother. You so much, fun. Brother.
Take care. A big thank you to our friend Lappy in LaPerriere for hopping on. What a beauty.
Miss Lap. So good seeing him. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while.
Been a long time coming. I've been chasing yes. after him for, yeah. it seems like, 3 years.
Pretty busy guy, though.
Yeah, right, of
gotta
course.
Give him a little bit of, let course. Him off the hook a little bit, plus being in Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
But
wasn't easy
so
to
happy for him, man. Those kids don't know how lucky they are, you know, or maybe they do, but to have a guy like him, a career like that, like he said, you know, he's coached, he's seen it all, done it all, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, he really is, yeah. His attitude hasn't changed, you know, he's just kind of transformed it into, you know, the coaching side of things, which is expected, but yeah, you're right. I mean, the guys probably don't know yet. I mean, some of them probably do, but how lucky they are actually have a guy like that that's lived it, and you know, to have an attitude like that, a guy that cares that much, is pretty impressive. So wish him the best.
Yes.
Going into next season. And I think we're ready, Nast.
For the clear questions.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Clear Rum. You hydrate.
I do.
While you dehydrate.
Yes.
But it's so good.
So good.
Got to get it in your rigs.
Hits your lips.
It's so good when it hits your lips, boys. Anyway.
Baller.
Let's go, baller.
Holy hell.
Debo, I blame you. The headphones. Give me his headphones. Do have to say, that was a hell of a... You guys did a great job, Debo and Baller. Watch your show for the draft. Debo was so damn mad.
He was just furious.
Broke his headphones. And he still kept going. The thing's hanging down here. It's pretty good. Got to get a little clip of that, Baller. Anyway, sorry.
All right, we have the Grizzly Bear over on Instagram. Who do you guys think gets traded in the offseason? There's some fans that want TK gone, but he's my favorite player, so hopefully not him.
Okay, first of all, before we answer, that's a great question. Did you hear the voice change there? What was that, Tebow? Did you hear him when he just asked that question? Yeah. That was pretty good. You're into it, Baller. I love it. TK, I would never trade TK.
No,
why would you
never,
trade TK?
No.
Like, I don't – if listen, they may. You never know. But
no,
like,
some
I feel like
me
that's
that,
a guy you don't want
to
trade.
No. It's hard to replace a skill guy that competes like that.
Right.
And, you know, plays with an edge. And I don't see him going anywhere. But I mean, I've seen crazier things happen. But
you're right. Crazier things have happened, but I just don't see it.
Yeah. I think a guy like Hazy is probably topping. Which we know is topping the list. I mean, we heard Proby's name thrown around there. But, I mean, we've also heard towards supporting him towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, like we've talked about before, anyone is kind of on the table if the price is right, I guess.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I just don't see TK being that guy.
I wouldn't do it. That's just me, though. But I don't see it either. Good question, though.
Yep.
Anthony Giampaolo over on Twitter. Appreciate Anthony. He sends in a lot of questions for us.
Thank you.
Is it a crime that Toronto hasn't played Zimmer at all these playoffs? I understand he isn't the player he was, but some players are built for the playoffs.
Listen, I said the other day, I don't know if that was you and I talking, and I know it sounds so old school, but after those first two games...
Yeah, you better believe.
Like, if you're telling me Wayne Simmonds is going to hurt you on the fourth line, right wing side, to go into Florida and play...
No chance.
I would have had him in there in a heartbeat, and I know I'm old school... But he is not going to hurt your team. And, you know, not that Tkachuk's done anything crazy, but it changes things when you know there's someone you might have to answer to. You know, and I'm not saying they would end up fighting, but just putting Simmer's energy on the bench, on the ice, even if he plays 5 minutes. And Clifford, too.
Yeah.
Clifford as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it's way beyond fighting. I agree with you fully. Yeah. Just having his presence, it's just... Everyone just feels a little taller, bigger. Again, not about the fighting at all, but I mean, he brings a presence. I mean, it's Simmer, man. Like you said, he's not going to hurt you on the fourth line. He's going to get on the forecheck. He's going to bring, you know, the energy, high tempo pace that he does. But yeah, I was surprised too. You know, he'd be like a guy. It's like, get out there. And you know what I mean? Like, he'd bring it and guys will follow. But yeah, you know, I guess maybe there's stuff we're not seeing, you know, from our perspective that they're seeing on a daily basis. Maybe he has noticeably lost a step, but not from what I've seen when he has played, I didn't notice that.
I didn't either.
But you know, it's just one of those tough coach's decisions that you have to make in critical times. And But yeah, I agree. Great question. I do agree with you. Question. I mean, I'd love to see him out there. I think that he could really add, just a unique dimension to that.
Even going back home now, I mean, they're still facing elimination, but going back into that building and having him, you know, I probably as a coach, we can't change the lineup.
Yeah, I get it.
But like, just like you said, locker room. On the bench, even if he plays 5 minutes, like he's just one of those people you want on your team.
100%.
But great question. Mm-hmm.
We got one last one from Greg Bond over on Instagram. Do you guys plan to have any public events for an episode?
Well, we've talked about this several times, working out some logistics for exactly that. In the meantime, until we actually do a live show, we are planning a tailgate, yes. Phillies tailgate on June 9th.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Playing the Dodgers.
With one of our amazing sponsors, Clear Rum. So stay tuned for more information on that. But
yes.
Good question. We have been talking about that exact thing for almost a couple years now. With potential partners at a casino, what we talked about last year that kind of fell through. But we've been certainly talking about this. So something that's on our radar and something we hope to accomplish, eh, Nas?
Yes, that's exactly correct, Riggs.
Well, if you have nothing else to add, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Episode 150. Episode
one?
Episode 104. Episode 117 in the books.
Yes.
Be sure to tune in next week for episode 118. Check out our YouTube. Be sure to subscribe and comment, ask questions. Always appreciate all the good questions out there. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.